All right. How are you doing? The sermon title this morning I want to share with you, I Shall Not Want. We get back into Psalm 23. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You lack of nothing. You have everything. And a lot of time with some young people or even adults, we feel like, are you sure we have everything we need? Or we lack, if anything? Well, let me tell you the story here. Denny Simon from Canada. And one day he decided to rob the bank. He hold a rifle, break into the bank, and steal $6,000. When he ran off, the police caught him and put him in jail. So he put in jail because he stole $6,000. While they find out that rifle is a very special rifle made from Ross and Rifle Company, and it's in Quebec City in 1918. Very special rifle, and it's worth $100,000. What did he have in his hand? $100,000, and he go and steal something, well, $6,000. My friend, we have Jesus. We have the shepherd here. And we think we want something more outside. Do you know that? We have everything we need in our hand. Jesus said, "I'm your shepherd. I will take care of you. You need nothing." Now remember, David, he grew up. He went through so many trials and tribulation. But the end of his life, he said, "You know, the Lord is my shepherd. That's enough. I don't need anything else." Why are we feel like we still lack of things? Why are we still feel lack of many needs that we have in this world? The Bible says this in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. Turn with me if you will. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 say, "My God shall supply all your need." My God supply all my need, all your need. My brother and sister, if you have any need today, claim this promise. He said he will supply all your needs. Now, he didn't say supply all you want. Right? There's a difference between needs and want. You might want many things in the world. But what you really need, you need food on the table. You need clothes on your back. You need a roof over your head. That's what you need. And God promised you he supply all you need. How many people today that you don't have clothes or food? What do you lack of? I'm sure all of you have something. Now, we want something more because we compare ourselves with a millionaire, right? Find out we have more than many people in the world. People are dying of starvation today. How in this country, some of you health experts maybe say, people die in this country because it's too much food. Too much disease because unhealthful diet. My friend, we have everything we need. God said he supplies all our need. You know, when you complain that you don't have a nice shoe, look at someone else that have no feet. They want a shoe, but they cannot wear. So before you really, "I want this, I want that," compare yourself to others. God said he supplies all our need. Now, the thing is this here. There's four reasons that people find out, analyze it. Four reasons why your need have not yet met. There's four reasons. And which category are you in? There's something in your life that you asked God for many years and that need is not fulfilled? Or maybe you asked to find a mate, you asked to have a good grade, you have to find a job. Do you ask what are the reasons why your needs have not yet met? First, that we have not exhausted all of our ability. Okay? Let's say I'm out of job for 1-2 years. And I ask God, "God can give me a job." Well, God come back and ask, "Do you go out and look for a job?" See, a lot of times we ask things and we don't try our best. We think if we ask enough, God will give. God know what I need. He will supply. I don't know where to look. God will give. God wants you to go out and find. Are we sitting there? Are we work hard? Are you study hard? Are you look for a job? Are you knock on doors? Do we try our best? All of our ability. No, God give us a mind. arms and hand and leg for us to go do something. Do something. When you go do something, you will grow. God don't want to create a robot and feed the robot day and night. No, you want to grow. If I want my children to grow, I want them to work it. Not just sitting there. You cannot grow if sitting there. A baby cannot grow unless it's try to run, try to crawl, try to do everything. You know, when I teach my young boys ride bicycle, I say, oh, I don't want to ride bicycle. It's hurt. I fall down one time, it's hurt. I don't want to touch a bicycle anymore. I mean, when they see a bicycle, they say, no, I don't want to see a bicycle. But you know what? They say, try it. I help you. I told you. After the fall 10 times, they know how to ride a bicycle. You got to do it. I remember when I was young, trying to learn a bicycle. I said, I don't want to get hurt. I hate hurt. And so I decided to ride a bicycle on the grass. Because when I fall down, it won't be so hurt. Can you try to ride a bicycle, practice riding a bicycle on the grass? You can't do that. Right? You can't. You got to work at it. God wants us to try hard. Are we exalt all the our ability? Our need have not yet met because we have not tried. Okay? Now when we ask try, God will help us. God will assist us. Just like my son want to ride a bicycle, I will help him. And think about, if we do something, God will help us. If we go out and knock on doors to get customer, if we need to study the night before to get a fire for our exam, you know, God will help us. God are there for you. That's one. The second reason, well, let me get back to the first reason here. A lot of people want miracle, want something supernatural. And that's not what God is coming here for. You remember when this the pilot said, Jesus, can you do a miracle? Do a miracle now so I can know you are God. That I know you are Son of God. Did Jesus do a miracle? No. See, we don't live in this world waiting for a miracle come every day. Now the story about Elijah. Now Elijah was run away and hide in the cave. And a raven came along and supplied food for Elijah. In the morning, drop food down. In the evening, drop some more food. Okay? And so that is supernatural. God will do some miracle because he was hiding. He will run away, have no food. He was tired. God give food. Now, he can go about and say, you know, there's food. Where's the drink come with it? Where's the drink? Well, God said, well, you go down the stream and find something to drink. Don't ask me to bring drink to you as well. You see? There's a time that we have to go out on our ways to do it. Don't expect every miracle come in your life. Don't expect every miracle. Don't expect every miracle. This story of the pastor tell me that one day that he went down to Argentina and he met a couple, and as he lived with the missionary in Argentina, and suddenly a man received a check $500,000. He asked for years ago, but I don't think anything come. And suddenly, some people know his name, know his address, and give him $500,000. Anyway, the story goes like this. 40 years ago, when he graduated from college, he wanted to go to mission field. And he saw some people in the party, asked, you know what, I'm going to mission field in Argentina. Can you help some money to build some churches, some clinic down there? And he said, no, we don't have time. We don't have money to help you. That's the end of it. Well, this friend that he asked, years go by, they never get contact, but when he gets so sick and he's going to die and he want to leave some of the possession back to someone. And he thought about the couple come and ask him if can help him go to Argentina as a missionary. Guess what? That couple so rich, they trace all the way back the name of the person, where he went, what village, what address, and he wrote a check and sent to him. You see, sometimes we try our best and we feel like, hey, God didn't answer. There's a time God will bless us. Have we tried our best today? With the mission center, have we tried our best? Do we work hard at it? Do we save money? Do we pray about it? So that's point number one. Have we exhausted all our ability to see the need to be met? Number two, did you request from God? Now you ask, I have some need, Lord, but did you actually request? Now, it's a lot of time we say, I request, but are you really seriously request, ask God, I need this? A lot of time we ask something, we ask just one time, and we didn't see any respond two times, and we stop. If my children ask for me something only one time, you think I give them? No, I don't think they really need it. I don't think he really serious about it. He asked two times, three times, 10 times. I think this boy really needs something here. You see, you really eager to ask for it. Do you ask God? Do you pray for it? Okay, go with me in the book of James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16 said this. James chapter 5, verse 16, the end of verse 16. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. That means if you pray fervently, God will answer. If you pray fervently, that means, do you pray fervently? Are you like Peter when he about to drown? He stick his hand up, God, save me. If you have that type of prayer, I believe God will hear you. If my son yell out in the backyard, help, I will run out. You see? Do you pray that type of prayer? I think when we suffer, when we face difficulty, we will have that type of prayer. My friend, you and I would need to have that type of prayer. Fervently, for someone, for yourself, for other people. Do we eagerly? You know, sometimes I think about the mission center. Do I pray enough? I think sometimes I walk around and I pray and I walk around. I pray on the campus here. I always thought about this. Do you walk enough? And you meditate. You think about day and night and pray. Even sometimes in my dream, I thought about it. I see myself doing something in that mission center. That's what God wants you to see. Do your heart, is your heart really work with that? You focus. You know, just like a beam, right? If you focus, you're going to burn something. I remember, I hate to say this to just young people, don't play this kind of game. I use a magnifying glass, I chase after an ant and the sun and try to burn the ant. I have to stay in focus, get that focus in, don't look at me. You can try, don't go home and try it. I hate to kill ants, but I did when I was young. Stay focused. If you focus, you will hit the point. Do you focus on your prayer? Is your prayer focused? Or your prayer very shallow? Pray before you go to sleep. Lord, help me if you want to. No. If you want something, and that's what God's will, He will give. Why do I know that? Because in James, same book, chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. James, chapter 4, verse 2. That's right. The question is, the end of verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. Do you ask? We cannot have it unless we ask. Okay? If you ask your parents something, if you don't ask, they won't know what you need. Okay? I know God knows what I need, but He wants us to ask. So knock on God's door. Doesn't matter any day or night. Knock on His door. Cry it out. Please help. That's what God wants us. God wants you to come and ask. I know what my children need. I don't want to give them. I want them to ask. Because I want a relationship. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to have a good, strong, a personal connection with you. Okay, if God give you, or I'm a parent and give my children, there's no connection. I want to give them. Oh, you want an iPhone? Here it is. Next thing you know, they have a relationship with the iPhone instead of with me. Right? Connect yourself with God. God say, ask Him. Point number three, why your need have not yet met. Because your need is not fully come. What I mean is, God feel like your need, He does not provide your need right now. You don't need now. I will wait until you really need it. My son can say, Dad, I need a car. Your need is not now. You don't have a driver license. You're not up to age. You don't need now. When your time is up, it's come, then your need will be fulfilled. Sometimes we cry out our need so much. We want it now, now, now. God said, wait, wait, wait. Can we wait? I remember the story in the Bible, in John 11, when Jesus go about to visit the home of Lazarus with Martha and Mary. And they say, you know, Lazarus is really sick now. If you don't come, you're going to die. Jesus said, well, I still have some time. 4 days later, Lazarus dead and Jesus come around. Now, understand about this story here. Now, did Jesus know that Lazarus is going to die? Yes. Why did 4 days? Why not 3 days or 2 days or 1 day? Now, according to the Jewish history, if you die in 3 days and you cannot breathe or your body feels cold, I mean, then you're surely dead. Now, a lot of times people think if you hear someone breathing, and if they don't hear them breathing in a few minutes, you pronounce that person dead. Sometimes it's not true. The heart maybe is not beating, but maybe the person's still alive. Okay. This true story. I helped a man when he came from Vietnam. His name is Mr. Nguyen Van Sa. And he told me the story when he was in the prison, okay, in Vietnam. And he worked somewhere and he fell down on the bamboo stick that, a sharp bamboo stick, and grew through his rib. And it was bleeding, and he was unconscious. And they came over and they see, oh, he's still breathing. Nope, he's not breathing. He came back another 5 minutes, he's breathing, he's not breathing. They proclaim he's dead. Well, they pull his body into a, what do you call places? A mortuary or some places they put dead person, the next day they're going to bury. Anyway, he pulled them in that storehouse, and he woke up in the middle of the night, find himself among the dead people. And he cried out. My friend, the Jewish tradition, if 3 days, if that person never wake up, that person completely dead. So God decided 4 days. That's our question. No one say Lazarus is not yet dead. And so Jesus came back, and here Martha say, if you would have come just a little bit earlier, you could have saved him. Why don't you do that? Now, if a sick person, a doctor can bring healing. But a dead person requires a miracle. Right? And so God have to wait for the need to be met in order for his name to be glorified. You see, a lot of time that we are short, we are really fumble, that we really need our needs meet, God decided to come to the very point in time that people know that it's not because of your strength, but it's God's strength. You understand? So any difficulty come to you, come to your shop, your business, your school, wait it out. God wants to be glorified through you, okay? God wants to do that. Jesus had been rescued. Jesus had been saved, bring healing to many people who are sick. But this point in time, I'm going to rescue or save someone that are dead to show that I am the Son of God. You see? And so any difficulty you go through, you ask God, why didn't you help me with this? Why did you wait so long? Why didn't you come for me? You know what? There's a time he will come. He will fulfill your need. But that point in time, you say, wow, thank you that you wait so long. Now I know that we can always depend on him. You know, when I say depend, this is very important, you guys. Very important. If someone asks me some help, I give them freely. And when they have it, they won't come back anymore. Some people come back from other poor country, immigrant this country, ask God, help me find a job. Help me have a home. Help me with a school. When they have it, guess what? Bye-bye, God. Don't need anymore. God wants you always in need. You understand? You have to always constantly in need. Sometimes we're with parents sitting here in the congregation today. If the children have everything, by the time 18, bye-bye. Have me the key, and bye-bye, I won't see you again. See? But you constantly say, well, I give you a car, but I won't give you gas money, so you can keep coming back. You understand? God wants you to come back because he does not want to be lost in the world. My friend, listen to this. We might have everything, and we will lose Jesus. I'd rather have all my need not always fulfilled, so I constantly come back to Jesus. If you don't come back to Jesus, you will be lost. And so, with that in mind, you will say, Lord, just fulfill my need just enough that I never leave you. Never leave you. God wants to save our soul. You understand? But we want to fulfill our need and our wants in the world. And many people are lost in this world because they don't need God anymore. So point number three is, our need is not yet fulfilled is because God says it's not right time yet. It's not right time. So there's time for everything. Okay? Sometimes you have doubt. Sometimes you have question. But there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. Point number four. Why is your need have not yet met? Because it's not good for you. Sometimes what we ask is not good for us. Someone told me the story, and this is funny. I don't know if the statement on the storefront is real or not, but this is what it says. If we don't have that item in the store, if we don't have, you're better off without it. You don't need it. You ask something you don't really need. And so point number four is, there's something that we really want God not going to give us. It's not good for us. Now comparing, why is some person able to win the lottery and other one doesn't win? Maybe God already knows if this person win the lottery, he probably go to gambling. But other person will win the lottery, he's going to give money to the church. You see? God knows what's important. Anyway, let me share with you the book of Psalm 84, verse 11. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and buy lottery, by the way. That's not what I mean. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. Book of Psalm 84, chapter 84, verse 11. Verse 11, they say this, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He will not withhold what is good. What our good, what we want, maybe it's not good for us. A quick example, some of the dietary law that we learn from the Bible. Where the world standard says, if anything, a lot of frying, a lot of fat is good for our taste. But God says abstain from that. Sometimes we don't know what is good for us. God says, this is good for you. Trust in me. Sometimes we ask for something God knows is not good for us. And so if you ask something for many years, God not give you, and maybe you put a question, maybe that's God don't want you to have it. God wants you to have it. And sometimes you feel like it's unfair. Why that person have it, I don't have it. But you know what? Everyone is different. God knows your future than you know yourself. So you know what is good. I read somewhere that people win so much money, are so rich, and they make a testimony and say, I wish that I don't have that much money. Because if I have so much money, people find out I have so much money, so many lawyers just come knock my doors, and so many cousins, relatives ask for money all the time. I hate that. I hate a relationship where people come here just money. No, when I go to Vietnam, I say, you got to bring home some money to give someone. If you don't bring home, maybe you just don't come bother them or visit them. Some people just want a relationship because of money. God does not want that. You see? So there's a time, if your need have not yet met, you cried out for it, God knows what is good for you, that's a point in time that you do not need that. God say, you don't need it. Better live without it. And so that's what God trying to say here. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You have everything. You have everything. If you have God, you have everything. If you feel like I'm a Christian and you say you still lack of things, that means you have not trust Him. You have not trust the Lord. He promised that every single day that you lack of nothing, just like the sheep, depend on the shepherd. Don't need to worry about tomorrow, where we can go to eat some food. He will take us there. Don't have to worry about when you get drink. He will take us there. Doesn't matter where you're going to sleep for the night, He will take us home. He provides everything. Do you and I have trust in God? God promised that I will be available to you 24 hours a day. If you need anything, knock on His door. He available for you. In the end of the very last verse of book Matthew say, I will be with you to the end of time. Is the end of time yet? No. Very minute here. He will be with you and I. So be careful not to say, oh Lord, I still lack of things. You know what? He said, you lack nothing. I'll be available for you. George Philip of Meridian in Mississippi, one day in his home, he heard something at night in his shack. And he knew it's a couple guy tried to steal some stuff in his shack. He said, and so he decided to pick up a phone and call and say, you know what? Policeman, please come now. Someone come to my house and steal. And the police say, are you there by yourself? Yes, I'm here by yourself. Have you shut your door? Yes, shut your door. Where are all those robbers gone? They outside the shack. That's fine. Stay put. When we available, we will come. We're busy now. We're not available. And he hang up the phone. He's pretty upset. He called the police. The police didn't come. 5 minutes. He picked up the phone again. Police. I'm so upset. I pick up the machine gun. I went out and shoot all of them. And the other phone said, wow, you did that? Hang up the phone. In 5 minutes, 5 police cars came. A helicopter came. The ambulance came. And they find out there's robbers in a shack, and they took them all away. And the policeman come and see this man and say, I thought you shot them. And the guy said, well, I thought you not available. I thought you're not available to come. You understand the story? You understand the story? See, they say, if he do something drastically, the police won't come. But if he don't do anything, the police doesn't come. So the same thing, the idea that our Lord available for us anytime. Today, people are not available for you. My friend sometimes say, you know, I need to talk to you. Say, I don't have time for you. Oh, well, can I talk to you? I'm so lonely. Can I talk to you? They say, I'm not available. I have something else to do. I have a movie to watch. I have a game to play. There's people in the world, you're so lonely in this world. But when you come to Jesus, He's always available for you. So my friend, especially young people, depend on Him day and night. In your schoolwork, in your relationship especially, and in your life, depend on Him. He came down here to save you. And He will do everything today until He come back again to save you. Do you believe that? Yes. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. That we shall not want. This means we have everything we need. Everything we need every day. You're always available for us. We could come to you anytime. So Lord, bless each one of us. bless every young person here, that any difficulty that we face, that we feel that we're short of something, that we have need, in need of something, just come to Jesus. Jesus right there for us. Come. Come those who thirst. Come those hungry. Come. Lord, I pray that each one of us can come to Jesus every day, that we can fulfill our thirst. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.